quorum. So I am going to call to order this meeting of the Sheriff and County Board Committee of the Whole. I ask Ms. Ford to call the roll, please.
Ammons.
Present.
Anderson. Beckett.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter. Cowart.
Present.
Dennis. Gladney. James.
Coffee.
Jay.
Here.
Jones. Knott.
Here.
Kurtz. Langenheim. McGinty. Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Richards. Rosales. Sapp.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Smucker.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Wysocki.
We do have a quorum, but I think if you need to leave the room, we need to do it one at a time.
A small buffer.
Okay. I need a motion to approve the county board resolutions and meet as a quorum in full.
Committee of the Whole.
Committee of the Whole.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Beckett, seconded by Mr. Betts. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Need a motion to approve the minutes of January 5th, 2010. Motion by Mr. Smucker.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. James. Are there any additions, corrections to the minutes? None. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. We have a motion to approve the agenda and the agenda for tonight.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Ford, seconded by Mr. O'Connor. Any discussion? There are none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. We have a number of people who already expressed the desire to speak. For those of you who have just arrived, if you are so inclined to address the county board, you need to fill out one of these little sheets of paper which can be found in the room. If not, I'm going to go with the names that I have in front of me. So, let's start.
Good evening. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. I would like to focus my remarks on the proposed Olympian Drive Extension Project, but I'd like to put it in the context of the county's land resource management plan. I applaud the steering committee and the county for coming up with the plans that they have in basic concept. The plan is very much in favor of farmland preservation and promoting growth within the existing urban boundaries. And to that end, I encourage the county board to consider the proposed roads that are in the county's long-range transportation plan as they look at the goals and objectives for the land resource management plan, because many of the proposed roads in that LRTP 2035 do not mesh with the goals of the land resource management plan, particularly those that pertain to agriculture, preservation of the natural resource base, and promoting infill type of growth and development. So I urge you to look at what the steering committee has come up with and how it relates to the LRTP. And the other issue that I would like to speak about with regard to the Olympian Drive project is the impact that it will have on agriculture in the affected region, that is the region that is along North Lincoln Avenue. A number of my neighbors will be talking about the historical value of the agriculture in that area, but I'd like to focus on local foods agriculture, which is what my husband and I do. We own and operate Prairie Foods Farm, which is on North Lincoln Avenue, and we employ 5 people full-time. We seasonally employ up to 12 people. We pay them a living wage and limited kinds of benefits. We provide a unique service to the community in terms of the kinds of products that we produce and sell locally, both at the Urbana Farmers Market as well as to local grocery stores and restaurants and other venues. We also offer a unique experience in the Midwest for people that are interested in local foods and in our local dinners during the warmer months of the year. And we've had people come from Chicago as well as the surrounding communities to enjoy those dinners. The road would be coming within a couple hundred yards of our property line and would adversely affect the character of our farm that would then adversely affect our opportunity to provide a rural setting for people to enjoy when they come out to have their dinners. But I want to speak to the potential for the agricultural areas surrounding Champaign-Urbana, such as ours, in promoting this kind of local foods agriculture as a means toward economic development. I realize that a lot of the impetus for Olympian Drive has to do with promoting growth and development after the road is put in. The kind of development that's been proposed is industrial-type development. I would argue that there is growing evidence in other places, particularly really excellent work done out of the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture at Iowa State University, documenting quantitatively the economic impact of local foods agriculture on regional economies. I'd like to just read some highlights from a particular study that was done in Iowa. This was a study that evaluated a community in the northeast part of Iowa, which is a relatively rural community, but it includes cities that are of similar size to Champaign-Urbana. And what they did was evaluate if that region grew 25% of the major fruits and vegetables to provide food for that particular region. They estimated that would include about a little over 4,000 acres in production to grow those crops. And at the producer level, that would support a total of about 97 jobs and an estimated $3.65 million in labor income for the region. If the farmers were direct sellers of just half of that produce, assuming that there were sets of distributors across the region where farmers sell their produce to consumers while the remaining half of their produce is distributed by wholesalers to existing grocery stores, etc., that would support 398 jobs, making $4.75 million. Once all of the transactions and input requirements are multiplied through the regional economy, then 457 jobs and $6.3 million in labor income would be supported while the stores were in operation. So we could equally run a similar kind of scenario for Champaign County and the agricultural areas in proximity to Champaign-Urbana and make a very equally compelling, if not more compelling, economic case for why this land should be preserved for agricultural economic development and not for industrial development. We argue that there are lots of existing sites that have infrastructure already that if the various parties that are trying to promote economic development could be creative and look at those existing sites and come up with an alternative plan, that could then be compared with a scenario of economic development using agriculture as the basis. And so I think that the time is ripe to begin to think a little outside the box, to not just look to the outmoded ways of thinking about economic development, and to begin to think that, yes, in fact, we can keep this land that is so precious in terms of the resource base, the soils that we grow our crops on. Once that's paved over, there's no turning back. And so I urge you all to think about, if the goals are to create jobs and build our economy, that there are more than one way to develop economic development. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Stephen Pearson.
Thank you for having me this evening. My name is Stephen Pearson. I grew up on one of the farms that would be directly on the south edge of Bullington Hunting Drive. My father grew up there. The farm was bought in 1909. His family had lived there about 20 years before that. He was actually born in the house that's still there, and I grew up there. My sister and brother-in-law still live there. I now work in Chicago, although pretty much all of the neighbors will tell you I'm down just about every weekend. After my dad passed away, my brother-in-law and I farmed the place ourselves for about 10 years. It's now farmed by the Ziegler family, who you'll probably be hearing from later. I would ask that before you decide that this road should be built, that you drive up by the area and take a look. The north branch of the Saline Creek that goes through is heavily wooded along there. If this area became lightly industrialized, this would be another resource that would be lost. To me, when I look at it, it's very similar to the Brownfield Woods or the Busey Woods, which also border the same creek. There's a great deal of wildlife that goes by. Very many deer. We see hawks and other wildlife that is. Unfortunately, I'm not an expert enough to tell you exactly what they are. But this is something that would be lost, and I feel that this is something that's good for society. Leslie Cooper Grant mentioned the dinners that they had in the summer. The woods around our places add very much to the experience for people coming out to dine or down from Chicago to dine. If outlying industrial development is something you want to do, I would propose that, particularly in the north of the Twin Cities, that you already have the capacity for that. There's a road going north, a road going east, and a road going back south, all of which can support heavy trucks. I'm referring to Marcus Street, the Leverett Road, and then U.S. Route 45. I don't see that there would be a need for another brand new road to go through. In addition, I would propose that the funds that would be used to build this road would be more efficiently used to improve the existing streets and roads, not only out for development, but within Champaign, Urbana, and Champaign County. I guess that's all I have. Thank you.
Grossman.
Hello, I'm Eric Thorsland, and I'm here to talk about Olympian again, or still. I'm glad to see that it's up for discussion tonight, and we've heard from a couple of the landowners. I don't live out there. I'm not a landowner out there. I am a farmer sometimes. I'm also a research technician, and I'm also not the smartest guy, but I try to sort things through. We've had, again, a lot of press about I-74, and it's a real hard thing to say, here's $5 million. And I have people say, no, that's okay. We'll be all right. But what we should think about is there was an effort done, that long-range transportation plan. There's a lot of good things in it. There's a lot of good mission statements in it. There's a lot of good, genuine plans in it. I want to thank Mr. Moore for giving you guys an informative memo before this came up on the agenda today, so you have time to read through that. Some of the things that I saw in it, we did talk about this road since 1960. I was conceived in 1960 as well. So I know that things have changed for me since 1960. When I was a young boy, we'd have flying cars by now. And this wouldn't be a problem at all. They mentioned that there was a broad public input and support for this. And I believe the people that went and sought the money did a very good job of getting it. And I appreciate that effort. But as you'll hear as the night goes on, and I attended your band meeting about this too, the majority of the support that isn't involved in actually obtaining the funds or using the funds are against the current alignment of this road. Granted, there's work that needs to be done up there. Take a trip to visit this area by driving up North Lincoln Avenue. The first thing you'll get to the moment you get out of the industrial area just barely north of the highway is a hard turn that says no trucks. So we need to work on that. I understand it's difficult to take this money that's allotted to something and move it somewhere else. It's not up to the county entirely, but the direction comes from here. We talk about economic development. We did this before. We did it again with Olympian, Clearview. Nothing's happened out there. Jobs were created. The road was built. I think we should have our own 500-mile race on it now because not a lot happens out there. And it's a beautiful road. By the time we use it, it's going to need maintenance. I-74 is not a problem right now. And we talk about alleviating traffic on I-74, and the very next thing I read is to stop stop-and-go traffic. Well, putting in Olympia Drive is going to put you into roads with stop-and-go traffic. Congestion is not that bad. I come from the East Coast again. I've seen congestion. You don't have congestion. It will eventually need to take place, some development up there. There are east-west roads, there are north-south roads. I ask the board to take the time to do it right. It's all about timing. Yes, right now the timing for it is bad. We don't have any construction money for this now. We've got $5 million to study and design and acquire land. But let's take some of that money and really study the problem again, do another traffic study. I ask you to rethink the plan. I ask you to think about the realignment that was proposed, to try to redirect the funds, no matter how hard it is, and ultimately reconsider Olympian Drive. Thank you.
Robert Lakey.
Hi, my name is Bob Lakey, and I do live on Olympian Road, and I am very much in favor of Olympian Road coming through. You know, there's been thousands of dollars spent years back to do this study that we just cannot, you know, do away with, and the road is very much open for development that Urbana is wanting very much. A lot of representatives are behind this project, and that's about it. But will you read the letter? Then can you read that?
I'd say just photocopies.
I'll make sure they get it.
I'll read the letter.
I'll read it. So.
This is from Joe Bates, which is a landlord of mine out in that area. and also is represented by Jim Heinberger, which is also another major landowner out there, and I myself am a very major landowner, and these properties will consist of a lot of acres that will be taken to put this road in. So as a farmer myself, I guess I should be opposed to it, but I'm not. I guess I'm understanding enough to realize that development is very important in our livelihood. But this letter, I'll read it, and it may offend some people, and I mean, like I say, I'm just reading what he asked me to read. He says, "Dear County Board Member, as a third-generation farm owner along the Olympian Drive extension, I am in support of completing the 1.5-mile project between the ICC railroad tracks and US 45. The University of Illinois employees who recently started the small goat farm on North Lincoln Avenue were clearly informed by the City of Urbana officials when they applied for licensing that their property was within the proposed Olympian Drive corridor. They recklessly ignored the public notice presented by our elected representatives, and now they plead to the City of Urbana for special status exemptions rings hollow. It is obvious that the real objection to the road project is based on the self-serving interests of these new business owners who do not wish to be inconvenienced. The next assessment, environmental impact, and engineering studies have long been completed by all necessary local, state, and federal agencies at great length and expenses to the taxpayer long before these hobby farm operations decided to set up shop and right in the middle of a proposed thoroughway. I, along with other area residents attending the many hearings covering Olympian Drive before properties, Wes Gerald and Lester Cooper appeared on the scene. As an accommodation to input from local residents, the roadway corridor was moved a quarter of a mile north in order to avoid displacing most of the homeowners in the area, particularly those along the existing township road, which was purposely bypassed. Please don't let yourselves be shouted into submission by the selfish addicts of a vocal minority. Don't let these naysayers squander the tax monies invested in the contributions of some of our finest minds have already made towards the orderly and reasoned implications of the importance of the road project. The completion of the final 1.5-mile segment of this roadway from the IC Railroad to Route 45 offers the best opportunity to open up this area of the county master plan to light industrial business development. Any claims that Olympian Drive is a ring road is without merit and is best clarified in the recent News Gazette article on December 15, 2009 by Urbana Public Works Director Bill Gray, where he states that Olympian Drive is an east-west arterial needed for the future growth and is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a ring road of Beltway. The proposed Olympian Industrial Zone without access roads, there can be no viable business, and so on. The high-tech startup and satellite companies generated by the University of Illinois will only locate in nearby parks properly prepared to receive them. Once Olympian Drive is funded, the north leg of Lincoln Avenue may be connected by a complete north-south, east-west access. Businesses will finally be attracted to the area, and the eventually development is sure to provide clean, well-paying jobs and provide an expanding tax base to adequately fund our county government. This intelligent leadership is what has brought our community plan this far. Please stay on course. For the better good of Urbana, I urge you to vote in favor of completing this long overdue project while funding remains available."
Good evening. I'm Laurel Preston, Mayor of Urbana, and I'm here to speak in favor of Olympian Drive. We have agriculture in this county because of a huge public works project in 1867 that Illinois legislature passed the drainage laws, and now we have some of the best farmland in the world. But all that farmland needs roads. It's crisscrossed by township roads, by county roads, and farmers need a way to get their products to market. And the Cooper bands need roads to get people from Chicago to come down and enjoy their dinners. And I don't think that the construction of this road is going to destroy all the woodlands along the streams. But one thing, it will provide for a bridge over the railroad tracks, which is a big share of the construction costs. And we are hoping that in the future we will have high-speed rail. And that kind of development needs bridges over the railroad tracks because you're not going to have cars crossing a high-speed rail corridor. So I think this is an opportunity that we've worked for many years. These communities through QLETS have done excellent planning. We all sit down, we work together, the county, the cities of Urbana and Champaign, the university. And I think we have one of the best functioning highway and transportation planning things in the entire state of Illinois. And we look at other things besides roads. We look at mass transit and all kinds of things. And the Urbana City Council, in unanimously approving Olympian Drive, also said that we're concerned about doing it in an environmentally sensitive way. And in response to the argument that we can employ a lot of people in agriculture, I think that we do have potential for employing more people in agriculture, but we are never going to go back to the days when most people worked in agriculture. And I think Champaign County is no exception to that. The major employers in the university and Carl Clinic, and we have a lot of small businesses. And Olympian Drive has been very carefully studied to minimize the impact to people. I don't think there's ever been a road built that didn't inconvenience someone. And we have an interstate highway system, and people were displaced by that. But we can't have an economy without roads. And I think this is a badly needed development. I do have sympathy for people who have century farms, but I do not think it's reasonable for someone who knew that a road was going to be built there to suddenly say, I don't want it there because it's going to inconvenience me. If you knew what the road was going to be built, you should have made your plans elsewhere. So I hope that you will support it because I think it will help not only Urbana, but Champaign, Rantoul, and the entire county. Thank you very much. And I do have a letter from Summer Township. Do I have time to read the letter from Summer Township? Okay, this is from the supervisor and the highway commissioner, the road commissioner. It's about Olympian Drive, and it's to me and the city council. Summer Township would like to take this opportunity to offer the support of all our elected officials for the Olympian Drive project. In recent years, the township has noted large increases in through traffic on township roads, including increases in heavy truck traffic. In an era of declining motor fuel tax revenues and extreme increases in road maintenance costs, this increased traffic makes it a challenge for the township to keep up with providing well-maintained and safe roads for our residents. The Olympian Drive project will improve access for Summer Township residents and provide for a necessary east-west connection in North Urbana. Most importantly, from a township perspective, it will help divert truck and automobile traffic away from township roads and onto a properly designed and constructed alternate route. As a result of this project, the township anticipates that it will see reduced volumes and improved safety on Fort Harris, Old Lincoln Avenue, and Willow Road. This will make our job easier in providing for safe, well-maintained access in these areas. The project will also have a benefit in providing for a safe grade-separated crossing of the railroad line. This will improve traffic safety for vehicles crossing over the railroad and will help to pave the way for the proposed high-speed rail project between here and Chicago. While we understand that not all residents are in favor of this project, we do believe that it would be of benefit to the township, especially with respect to its road maintenance responsibilities. Thank you very much. I'll give the letter.
Thank you very much. I've got some copies of what I'm going to say.
Sure. We'll see that they like it.
Right. Look, I've spoken about this before, but I'm going to speak particularly tonight about an alternative plan we've got. Shall I pass that around or just talk to it? What would be just talk? This is a classic case of the proverbial road to nowhere. I Today I went up there and I took some photos, which is listed in the document, which I'll circulate with you, to show you what the future of this place would be like. And if you want to see the future of it, go to the western end of Olympian Drive, where there's a flashing traffic light, there's junk dropped beside the road, there's an industrial zone which is just completely wasted land. And if you want to turn some of the world's richest farming land into another industrial wasteland by putting this road through, that's good planning. But I mean, I think it's actually very bad planning. And I think I've got I've been working on this, and I have 10 reasons why this is a disastrous road, and I'll mention just some of them, but talk in more detail about a few. Firstly, it'll destroy 85.7 for 1 mile of road or a mile and a bit of road, destroy 85.7 acres of the world's best farming land. It will do huge environmental damage. There isn't much of the big grove left, but it takes out a few remnants of the big grove. It will cut through a significant wildlife corridor, which is my third point. It'll encourage people to drive further and faster. The Couts report proves that. So by building this peripheral road, it is a peripheral road. You can say it's not, but just look at the drawing and it's a peripheral road, and by the time it's all built, that's what it was conceived as being. The fifth point is it's just actually a really bad design. Let me say this, and I'm not a road designer, but in our alternative plan, which I'll pass around, we've suggested an alternative where you cut across from the current end of North Lincoln to the current end of Olympian. So if you want to join that road up and use the existing Olympian, that's about 1 mile. But the current plan says you go right out here, this way, on North Lincoln, before you start heading east. Now, you know, it's a mile of road you don't need, as it goes out there like this before it heads back. So if it wants to divert traffic from the north, it's a crazy way to do it. But then what I want you to do in your mind's eye is count the number of intersections between there and 57. There's going to have to be an intersection at Market Street. Lincoln is an intersection of itself, of its own. Prospect is a set of lights. And who is going to take that road? It's a stop-start road beginning to end. So you're building a big road, which is supposedly an arterial road or a cross road that takes you from 45 to 57, where you have to cross five times. So I think it's one of these shovel-ready things which, if there's money that can be grabbed, we'll grab it, and we won't even think about whether it works or not. And it just strikes me as being, I don't care how thick the report is, it just seems illogical. So what we did is we commissioned Burns Clancy to think of, well, what could we do which was more modest, which achieved some of those objectives. I mean, we as local people don't object to there being industry and appropriate places for industry. The only thing, and the industry there is along Route 45, it's the north of Urbana on North Lincoln. It's fine that it's there, and it's fine that there's more. But let's, in about 50 years' time, if we have boom times for the next 50 years, we will have used the industrial land at the other end of the Olympian, and we will have used the industrial land that's available. Let's not just build roads and hope that industry will come. And in any event, I mean, I don't see necessarily why industry is a better use of that land than farming. My sixth point is we just don't need it. I mean, Leverett Road is perfectly good. It won't involve as many stops. It won't involve a crazy dog leg. And in fact, the 45 to 57 stuff attach you directly to the, I think it's intersection 240 on 57. So when you've got Interstate 74 and you've got Leverett Road, to build another road, we can say we need roads. Of course we need roads, but we don't need that many. We don't need one every mile, and certainly not on this scale. I'm just asking you logically now, if you're a truck in Super Value, are you going to take that big dog leg and five intersections to get onto 57 if you're heading north? Or are you going to go down to 74 and just get onto 74 because it's half a mile away? Of course you're going to do that. So whatever the rationale is, it strikes me as being entirely disingenuous. My seventh point is it's just an incredible waste of money. I mean, $27 million for three miles of road is a huge amount of money. The local people are going to have to put money in. It's not just the federal government. And we might say, okay, it's the era of earmarks and pork, and let's get the money we can, and let's build what we can, and we get the money for this and shovel ready. But a waste of taxpayers' money is a waste of taxpayers' money, no matter where the money comes from. So regardless of the federal government money that might be possible to throw into this, it's just a waste of money. Now, what we're suggesting, this more modest thing, does what the mayor wants, which is to get a road over the railroad line. So it does serve that objective. And it does serve the objectives about the industrial stuff with fewer intersections. And we reckon you could do that for less than the $5 million that's already there. So if you really insisted on spending the money that's already been allocated, there must be a way to do that by doing a limited version of this project, and perhaps without the county and the people of Urbana having to pay for this rather absurd road to nowhere. The eighth point is it provides peripheral development. You know, build a road and it'll follow. Well, you build a road around the edge, people build on the outside, the centre collapses. It's based on an old model of the economy. I mean, what is the new economy and how are we going to think about things in the future? Leslie's mentioned that. But, you know, my sort of ultimate point, and I think this is a really, you know, should really ring home true to us in this era of earmarks and pork barreling and whatever. It is the classic road to nowhere. It starts in an industrial wasteland, a dead-ending industrial wasteland, which is utterly unused, and I've got some photos of it in this document. And it ends at the Lonely Adult store on Route 45. And really, if you're all the other purposes you have in life, like, you know, going from Rantoul to 57 or whatever, you're going to use Leverett. If you're at Supervalue in a truck, you're going to use 74. I mean, this is, if you look at a map and you think of the alternatives, this is the ultimately absurd road. And if you want to just, I encourage you all to drive to the end of Olympian, and not just to drive to the end, but to drive up every little intersection. There are a series of intersections there, all with dead ends, all with piles of rubbish, all that go nowhere, and in the middle of it is a traffic light flashing red. No cars, no nothing. So if you want to see the future, go there. And that's a graphic view of what will happen to this land if this happens. Now, with all due respect to Jim Heimberger, I think he wants a quick buck selling it to the people with the federal stimulus money. So, I mean, I'm particularly, you know, as a local person, not terribly happy about that as a reaction. But anyhow, look, I've got this alternative plan here. I've got my little 10 reasons why this is a road to nowhere that shouldn't be built, and I can circulate it all to you. And thank you very much for your time and for your patience listening to this story so many times.
I'm John Dimmitt, Executive Director of the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation. The Economic Development Corporation has a board of 36, and they voted unanimously with two abstentions. And the two abstentions were Urbana-related folks, and they abstained because they would be looking at it at their city council meeting. So unanimously they voted on a letter that has been submitted to each of you. I don't want to waste your time going over the points that were raised in the letter, all of them, but I do want to emphasize that what the EDC is concerned about is creation of hundreds and hundreds of jobs. We have a situation in this community where our economic development strategy has been very good for those who have advanced degrees, and we've not been so good at working on employment opportunities for the youth of our community who oftentimes don't have the ability or the finances to obtain advanced education. They need jobs too, and we need to be at work trying to prepare for those. And for 50 years or more, the communities of Champaign and Urbana and the county through its zoning ordinance since 1973 has promoted this area, the particular area of North Lincoln Avenue, for industrial development of our community. It's important that we then provide the infrastructure that we need up there. Already, millions and millions of dollars have been spent to make sure that the area can be properly served by electricity, by sewer, by water, and in even including not just the few thousand dollars, but approaching $1 million that's already been spent to get us to this point where we can move forward with Olympian Drive. It is about accessibility in the area, and it's not just about a connection between 45 and 57. It's to take care of what is in between and provide accessibility in between. No alternative can be done for $5 million. The price of a bridge across the railroad is $16 million just by itself. So do keep that in mind, that the $27 million, I'm sorry, there are two bridges, one across the creek and one across the river. And it's $16 million just to construct those bridges alone. And that's what drives the cost of this particular project up. if we want to think about it, think about what the south side of Champaign-Urbana would be without Windsor Road or without Curtis Road. And what you have on the north side is you have an area without the equivalent. And we need to be worrying about the north side of our community now the north side of our community develops. If we want to talk about ag land, we're going to have growth in this community. And from my many years in working in planning in this community, I know that the soils and the ability to farm and to farm it profitably for the major farmers, not for boutique farming, but for the major farmers, relies on large, uninterrupted tracts of land that are highly, highly arable. The land up there is good land. Every square inch of land in Champaign County is good land. But when you want to compare what's most efficient to farm, what's the least efficient to farm, then we have to look at those areas that are least efficient to farm if we want to promote growth in the greenest and most efficiently possible. I do not view this project as sprawl. If we were to improve Fort Harris Road or to move all of our urban traffic to as far north as Leverett, then we're talking about sprawl. This road is really within just a few miles of downtown Atlanta. And so we need to be talking, when we talk about compact and continuous growth, I firmly believe that the extension of Olympian Drive falls within the definition of compact and continuous. The EDC also operates a couple of industrial roundtables, and the second letter was sent to you from those roundtables. It's signed by 13 businesses. There are other businesses that have corresponded with you on a single basis, but that was a group letter. And that group letter also indicates that many of those businesses are located in an area in proximity to Olympian Drive in anticipation of the longstanding public plans to complete Olympian across the railroad tracks. In particular, we have a large major employer in this community with a facility on both sides of the railroad tracks employing hundreds and hundreds of our residents that built the facility. Originally, the facility was in Urbana, but the second facility in Champaign, with the intention of being able to move product back and forth between the warehouses. It is very inefficient for them currently and very inappropriate for them to send their semis down through the current residential neighborhoods on the south side of the interstate in order to get across to Market Drive and get back up to Apollo Subdivision. They built their facilities, and they're very worried about the fact that now that we finally are reaching a point where we might have the financing to build this, that we're going to turn our backs on. So I ask you not to do that. With that, I'll sit down. If there's any questions from the letters, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Bill Ziegler. Good evening, Bill Ziegler. My wife and I live on a family farm on the Valley. We have lived on that farm all of our married life. Matter of fact, it's a centennial farm. We've been in the Ziegler family since 1865. I would just like to share a few thoughts on the traffic issue for the Olympian Drive project. It seems quite unlikely to think that regular vehicle traffic would use this road where 98% of the population of Champaign-Urbana lives south of 74. If you're traveling between Urbana and Champaign, why would you bypass I-74 and go north to use Olympian Drive and add an additional 3 miles and three stop lanes to your trip? When you travel north on Prospect, you pass by Walmart, then there's nothing else. Going north on Neal Street, past Marketplace Mall, there's also nothing left. Traveling north on Lincoln, past Super Value and UPS, the road dead ends. Driving north on Cunningham Avenue at Route 45, past the Bryan Auto Park and Farm and Fleet, development is non-existent. Yet, local interest groups want to spend $27 million of taxpayer dollars to connect these roads via Olympian Drive, which would be 2.5 miles long out in the middle of open farmland. Why build another unneeded new road when our existing roads are in such desperate need of upgrades and repair? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Virginia Ziegler, and I have lived in this
same place for 50 years. And I would also like to say that my husband is the fifth generation to farm on this ground. Our son and grandson come in with the sixth generation. I would like to speak to the issue and the impact of the Lincoln Road Project on sustainable agriculture. The concept of going green is very popular today. The basic principle of sustainable agriculture has its roots in being green, maintaining production of crops on the rich soils of Champaign County is of prime importance, as well as encouraging the development of locally grown items. In addition to the production of agricultural commodities, the green concept would also stress the continuation of natural wildlife refuge areas and the undisturbed areas of streams and wetlands. Unfortunately, the Olympian Road Project would not enhance any of the green attributes that exist north of the bend. It would not be a project to encourage staying green, but would actually destroy the beautiful green areas that exist now. Approximately 80 plus acres would be taken out of production that would either be covered with concrete, made into retention ponds, or converted to highway right-of-ways. Wetlands along the saline drainage ditch would forever be altered or destroyed, along with destroying an area of virgin timber. This project would not only be a huge financial burden to us as taxpayers, but will forever change the beautiful landscape in the area north of Urbana. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Janet Sharlow.
Hello, my name is Harold Sharlow, and I live on 3610 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. Long-range planning is not an easy job, and I wouldn't want it. However, at some point when you're doing long-range planning, you must realize that if your projections are not accurate, you must change directions and come up with a new model and go forward. Quoting from the News Gazette article in yesterday's paper, through a lengthy process that considered numerous factors including cost, natural resource preservation, safety, economic growth projections, impact to existing properties, and broad public input, the engineers chose Olympian Drive. But all of one of these items deals with the placement of the road. Cost, natural resource preservation, safety, and impact on existing properties are issues once the road has been determined that the road is needed. Only economic growth projections address the need for a road. People refer to the 1997 study done by Hansen Engineering to support their position that this road should be built. But what about the underlying economic growth projections that were given to the engineers? I have handed out a letter that we received in 1995 from Hansen Engineering when this proposal first came up, and I would just read the second paragraph to save time. This study includes an evaluation of projected traffic. Our analysis indicates that over 20,000 vehicles per day will use this road by the design year 2015. These projections are based on developmental forecasts provided by the City of Urbana and the Champaign County Planning Department. Well, clearly, if anybody has been up there, you know that there is nowhere close to 20,000 vehicles a day up there. In a letter I wrote to, or my wife wrote to the editor, you'd have to come up with a large, you can get to 5% of that projection. The second page of my handout is a map that I received from the Illinois Department of Transportation. This study is of the roads, the traffic on the roads. It's done every 5 years. Since Ford Harris Road is considered a minor artery road, it's only done every 5 years, where the others are done every 2 years. This data is done by the county people. Mr. Blue's people do this study. The tubes are laid for 24-hour periods. I project the same time every year, so the projections stay the same, and the data is collected. I want to draw your attention to the fact that in 1996, adding the columns down as how many vehicles actually touched Fort Harris Road. There was 4,300 vehicles. If you go to 2006, 10 years later, that number drops to 3,250. That shows a 25% decrease in the traffic on Fort Harris Road. Clearly, a lot different from 20,000 and projecting it upward. Also, I'd like to refer to Chapter 4 in the long-range management plan that you are going to be studying. In there on Table 4.14, it's in employment changes in the employment sector in Champaign-Urbana. And under manufacturing, you will see that from the year 2001 to the year 2005, Champaign County has lost 7% of their manufacturing jobs. And I would assess that from 2005 to 2010, that number has not increased but decreased further. Since many of the underlying economic projections have not materialized, how can this 13-year-old document be used? Would it not make more sense to develop a new set of economic growth projections to see if this road is really needed? Further from the article, completion of the project, Moore wrote, will promote economic development resulting in job opportunities for current and future residents consistent with community planning. How? Other than a broad-based general terms, what specific plans are in place to make this economic development a reality? How is the road going to help stop the flow of industrial jobs overseas? How is the road going to stop the flow of industrial jobs out of the state of Illinois, given our economics financial condition? How does Urbana compete with Peoria, Bloomington, Normal, Springfield, and even Champaign for these jobs? What new industry has Urbana attracted in the past 10 years that would lead you to believe that this development could happen in this area? Change the model. The article states that Urbana is the lead agency on this project, yet Urbana is foregoing the extension of Florida Avenue eastward to U.S. Route 30. Instead, they are planning to divert $700,000 of that $1.4 million stimulus money they received for the project to fund their current $1.43 million deficit, which will take place as of June 30, 2010. And they will need to use the other $700,000 to fund their projected FY 2010-11 deficit of $1 million. Where is Urbana's interest in economic development and job creation for current and future residents consistent with community planning? Isn't it a little humorous that Urbana is not going to extend Florida Avenue with the stance that let them, Menards, build first and then we'll build a road, yet for Olympian Drive, their stance is let's put in a road and see who might build out there? As far as congestion and stop-and-go traffic, I ask you again to envision yourself at an intersection of Cunningham Avenue and I-74. Your destination is Neal Street or Prospect Avenue. Will you turn left and be there in about 3 or 4 minutes, or will you go north and add 3 miles to your trip? Finally, I do not want you to leave you with the impression that I disagree with the entire plan. For clearly, if you continue north past I-74, you will be safer. It's hard to have an accident when you're the only one on the road.
$27 million because the time has come. But then I reflected and I thought differently. The time has come to see the value of our land. This project will skewer and bisect 2 Centennial Farms and remove 85 or more acres of farmland from the highest quality from production. According to the analysis given tonight, I presume that my grandparents and great-grandparents should have moved farther north or south before settling here, because they should have known this road was coming through. Mr. Dimmitt, who is the head of the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation, has said that this project may very well affect the profitability of a large-scale farm, but in terms of boutique farms, it will not affect them at all. I don't know his description of a boutique farm. We own 230 acres and supplied 36 bushels of grain this fall. The Ziegler Farms, who are neighbors, own 175 acres and supplied 22,000 bushels of grain this fall. These are not boutique farms, but are family farms that will be affected and acres lost if the pavement is applied. The county board will probably be assigned the duty of establishing the right-of-way, so it will be your duty to come confiscate our farms and turn it into Urbana's industrial park. The time has come to see the motivation. Mr. Dimmitt also has said that this road is more than an access road for truck traffic, and that they don't envision it becoming an east-west Prospect Avenue. He continues to say that we absolutely do not see it becoming another place to put a big box store. On the other hand, Laurel Pressing states that this will be Urbana's future light industrial area. So which is it? Mr. Dimmitt's organization has a mission statement that says the CCEDC, through public and private partnerships, continually improves the local economy by successfully driving business attraction, retention, and expansion. This sounds like they're interested in a good deal more than a truck route. In fact, the statement is dead on target with the majority of the dialogue surrounding the Olympian Drive project. And that would be development, industry growth, and retail. It seems that Mr. Dimmitt, who has a problem with big farms, has no problem with big business. The real motivation is greed and ambition. Mr. Dimmitt and the city of Urbana have a huge investment of time in this project, and they want success. The city is eyeing an expanded tax base from a business growth that will solve their tax woes. Business interests, along with speculators, are pressuring everyone involved to get on board. The time has come just to satisfy their self-interests. Well, Urbana is full of unused industrial space already. The time has come to look at alternatives. If you look at the map that my husband gave you, you can see where Lincoln Avenue currently resides. May you remember that Lincoln Avenue is not included in this project. So the proposed Olympian Drive will connect the Champaign side of Olympian Drive, which already connects to 57, to Route 45. Lincoln Avenue is not in the project. I hear that SuperValu and UPS are in favor of the road, and I have to ask why. There is only one way to access this road, and that will make it beneficial to them, and that is Lincoln Avenue. There is no other access to the proposed roads from the north, south. So these trucks are going to have to come up Lincoln Avenue, take two dog legs as envisioned there, and then hit an oil and ship road, which currently is posted as no through trucks. So I don't see how it's going to benefit SuperValu at all, because this is an east-west road, not north-south. So back to being a truck route, and that would be for whom? Who travels from 45 to Market Street, bypassing 74, to warrant $27 million. The facts, the figures, and the logic just don't add up. Mr. Moore also cited today that the stop and go traffic on 74 and its congestion. I've lived here 50 years, and I have never had stop and go traffic except for an accident or getting to the mall at Christmas time. And that is poor traffic management in Champaign, not really a 74 issue. Go to Chicago, see the stop and go traffic, and then you will know what congestion is. In yesterday's News Gazette, Mr. Moore states that the need for an east-west roadway north of I-74 was envisioned as early as 1960. 74 was just completed in 1960. That means they were already envisioning a road north of 74 before they ever completed 74. Well, there were, and he also states that every highway plan for CU has included it since that time. Well, where were the highway and transportation plans when the county wanted to put a landfill on this very same property in the late 80s? 40 Arrows is going to be the road they were going to use then, and it's the road they could use now. The time has come to see why it's taken so long, and this is the easiest yet. This is a relic of a plan. In fact, if we take what Mr. Moore said yesterday in the News Gazette, the plan is 50 years old. The Hansen study is 13 years old. And a little history here. 13 years ago, the county board in Champaign and Urbana entered into an agreement to do Olympian Drive. All was in place, and one may say that that was the time. I was at a highway meeting for the county when the final vote was to be taken. All were ready to approve, and the mayor of Urbana stood up and said Urbana was not going forward with the project. The reason being that much of the road is in the Champaign School District, and if Urbana was going to fund it, they wanted to be into the tax base of the road and the surrounding area, just in case some development might come. That fact is still in play. That fact has not changed. Part of the land is still in the Champaign School District. You've been here before. You have spent many hours discussing, funding, preparing, just to have Urbana walk away. They are in a worse financial condition now than they were 13 years ago. According to their projections, they will be $1.4 million in debt by June 30th of this year. That needs to be remembered. You shouldn't continue to let a city tell you what you can do. You are our voice, the voice of the county residents. We don't have a voice. We're in the 1.5-mile jurisdiction. We don't get to vote in their elections. We have nobody to speak for us except you. You are our voice. Yes, you will be told that there will be many, many jobs and businesses that will be used in this project, but the same jobs can be used in repair of the current roads and streets within Urbana. The time has come to see that there are three other roads that serve the same purpose. Fort Harris, 0.5 mile away, connects to 45 and Market. It's a township road, but usable. Leverett Road, 1.25 miles, and it's concrete paved road that connects 45 and Market. And then there's I-74 that is 1.25 miles south. They may not be bright, shiny, and new, but they're serviceable. So really, the time has come to put this project to rest. Times have changed, as have our needs. Money is tight everywhere. This road is no longer a need, but now a want for the developers. If they want industry, then just look at the industry of farming that's currently there and what we give back in the way of revenue and food to this county.
Thank you. The last speaker on this topic is Hobby.
Good evening. My name is Habib Habib. I'm the CEO of Benefit Consultants. I'm here to speak in favor of Olympian Drive in my capacity as member of the Board of Directors of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce and chairman of Champaign County First, a joint effort by the EDC and the Chamber. I have some prepared comments, and then afterwards I have some personal comments. The Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, representing nearly 1,300 local businesses and 65,000 employees, expresses its support for the Olympian Drive expansion project as outlined in the Champaign-Urbana Urbanized Area Transportation Study Long-Range Transportation Plan 2035. The continuation of Olympian Drive east of Apollo Drive connecting to Cunningham Avenue and Route 45 will open up hundreds of acres of land to new economic development. According to a recent study by the Wisconsin Economic Development Association, for every acre developed for commercial or industrial use, it generates 11 permanent jobs. And according to the National Association of Home Builders, the construction of 1,000 homes generates 2,448 construction and construction-related jobs, $79.4 million in wages, and $42.5 million in federal, state, and local income tax. The alternative presented by those who oppose the Olympian Drive project for construction expansion on Fort Harris Road is not feasible. Fort Harris Road would be more expensive to construct, as the City of Champaign segment would need to be completed with a new interchange on I-57. Additionally, the existing sewer and water lines do not cover the land adjacent to Fort Harris Road, hindering economic development. The Olympian Drive project has been in the works for decades and has been a key focal point for economic development of northern Urbana-Champaign. Once completed, the road will help reduce the traffic congestion on I-74. It will link northern Urbana with northern Champaign, open up hundreds of acres to economic development, and provide easy access for those located on Lincoln Drive to I-74, I-57, I-72, Route 45, and Lincoln and Prospect Avenues. Jointly, the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, Economic Development Corporation, Cities of Urbana, Champaign, Savoy, and the county were successful this year in securing $5 million of the state funding for Lincoln Drive and advocated for federal funding while in Washington, D.C. this past September as part of Champaign County First. 12 years after its initial construction, we have never been closer to having the project finished than we are today. Congress will soon be reauthorizing the federal transportation funding bill, Safety Lou, and we must continue to show a united front for Lincoln Drive to Congressman Tim Johnson and Senator Dick Durbin in order to be successful at securing federal funding necessary to complete the project. At the end of my prepared comments as Chamber Member and Chairman of Champaign County First, I'd like to have some very brief personal comments. I've lived in the area since 1985. I've lived in Southwest Champaign, and I've lived in Southeast Urbana. And I was lucky enough to have a job on the right side of the tracks every time I lived. When I lived in Southeast Urbana, my job was in Southwest Champaign. I had to cross all the way. I'd like to draw you a word picture. I remember when traffic was very congested on Springfield Avenue. I remember when traffic was very congested on Green Street. We didn't have Windsor Road to go through. Windsor Road didn't go through. We didn't have Curtis Road. We used to go through, and yes, it's not congestion compared with Champaign, with Chicago, but we don't compete with Chicago's congestion. People come to live in Champaign not to have Chicago congestion. Where would we be had people not looked forward to growth way back in 85 and 86 and 90? And said, we need Windsor and we need Curtis. I also remember Staley Road not being improved and Duncan Road not being improved. I use Staley Road every day today. In the past, not many people used Staley Road, and people could have called it or lived to nowhere. Now it's used. I use it every day, and so many of my neighbors. I take it to my work in Northwest Champaign, and I don't use the local roads, alleviating congestion on Manus and Prospect. So I ask you to consider that. Your job is not to think about what we need tomorrow. Your job is to think about what we need tomorrow, and the next day, and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. And if we could go down to the store and order a road and install it the next day, you wouldn't have to look at it. But you have to look way farther. We're closer than ever to do that, and as a citizen, I also urge you to support them. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker is Rich Schultz. On a different topic.
My name is Rip Schultz. As you may recall, I'm chairman of the Newcomb Township Land Commission. However, I'm not speaking in that capacity. I'm speaking strictly for myself tonight. I want to emphasize that. I'm here because I'm troubled by Part B of Case 658-AT-09, which John Hall will be bringing forth tonight. It requests a small change to Section 9111-D1 so that it refers to Section 6.1 of the Zoning Ordinance rather than to Section 6.1.3. Before continuing, it is useful to explain in a general sense what sections 9111D1, 613, and 61 are about. Section 9111D1 defines situations in which a standard condition for a special use permit can be waived. Section 613 contains a table that depicts the schedule of standard conditions for special types of special uses. This table does not, however, include wind farms. Wind farms are handled separately by Section 614. Finally, 6.1, which now begins Section 6, also specifies which standard conditions are subject to waiver. My problem with Part B of Case 658-8T09 is with the rationale given for making the change. As I understand it, the reason for the change is the opinion that standard conditions for all special uses described in Section 6.1 are subject to waiver, not just those in Section 6.1.3, which is what the current ordinance specifies. Thus, the change being requested is an attempt to make 9111D1 consistent with that view, that, to be clear, the view being that all special uses are subject to waivers. The trouble is that I disagree with this premise. Why? Because the ordinance expressly states that not all standard conditions for special uses are subject to waiver. This is important because under 6.1 are listed several items, one of which is the wind farm ordinance, which is section 614. Changing section 9111D1 to refer to 6.1 looks like an attempt to make the requirements for wind farms subject to waiver, which they are currently not. But this won't work. The language of the zoning code is clear on this point. It does not allow the standard conditions relating to wind farms to be waived, nor does it allow the site reclamation requirements, which are referred to by the wind farm section, to be waived. Furthermore, making the recommended change to section 9111D1 does not alter this fact. Again, the zoning ordinance is quite clear in this point. Simply put, the requirements for wind farms are exactly that, requirements. They're not guidelines. Let me briefly explain why the zoning ordinance does not allow the standard conditions related to wind farms to be waived. First, section 6.1 begins with this paragraph, which I'm going to read in its entirety. It's a bit of a mouthful. The standards listed for specific special uses which exceed the applicable district standards in section 5.3 and which are not specifically required under another county ordinance, state regulation, federal regulation, or other authoritative body having jurisdiction to the extent that they exceed the standards of the district shall be considered standard conditions which the board is authorized to waive upon application as provided in section 9111 on an individual basis. Now, for clarity, let me read that again, but this time I'm not going to include the subordinate clause so it's easier to understand what it's saying. So, quoting, the standards listed for specific special uses which exceed the applicable district standards in section 5.3 shall be considered standard conditions which the board is authorized to waive upon application as provided in section 9111 on an individual basis. Now, the key phrase here is which exceed the applicable district standards in section 5.3. Thus, the only standard conditions that can be waived are those listed in section 5.3, and then only if they exceed the 5.3 standards. Now, section 5.3 is a table, and I think you've got it on your handout, at least the first part of it, that describes the area, height, and placement regulations by district. It includes such things as minimum lot size, average width, maximum height, required yards, and maximum lot coverage. It has nothing to say about the vast majority of the provisions in the wind farm ordinance, such as the design of a wind farm tower, mitigation to damage to farmland, noise, fire protection, electromagnetic interference, shadow flicker, liability insurance, wildlife impacts. I mean, the list goes on. Thus, the wind farm requirements are not subject to waiver because there is no applicable district standard for these things listed in Section 5.3. The ordinance is extraordinarily clear in this regard. Moreover, to avoid any misunderstandings on this point, the wind farm ordinance expressly exempts itself from those standards described in 5.3. It states in section 614B1, quoting, there are no minimum, and it's using defined terms all in caps, there are no minimum lot area, average lot width, setback, yard, or maximum lot coverage requirements for a wind farm, end of quote. These things These are the very things which 5.3 deals with. Lot area, average width, and so on. And the wind farm ordinance explicitly exempts itself from those things. I just read you the section. You can easily check it out. Look, the intent here is clear. The wind farm ordinance defines the minimum standards that pertain to wind farms. And minimum standards are not subject to waiver. Now, we come to the point. The point of discussion is simply this. Changing 9111D1 as requested in 658 8009 Part B does not alter the fact that the wind farm regulations cannot be waived. Therefore, it would be misleading to change 9111D1 as requested, again, because the wind farm provisions are not subject to waiver, whether you change 9111D1 or not. To make them subject to waiver would require an extensive change to the zoning ordinance. Now look, it is very likely that John Hall will have a different opinion on this than I do. While I respect and have high regard for John, if he does disagree on this point, I'm convinced he's wrong. I must emphasize the language of the zoning ordinance is very clear on this point. Only those standards which exceed the applicable district standards in Section 5.3 can be waived. Now look, no matter how we might have, in general, thought about the waivability of standard conditions in the past, those general notions do not apply to the standard conditions imposed by the wind farm amendment. So given what I've said, I recommend that you do not enact 658 AT08 Part B. At best, it is misleading. At worst, it could be used to justify the county acting in a manner that is not compliant with its own zoning regulations.
I will just sort of make you all aware of the fact that there are no actionable items tonight regarding the Olympia Drive. A little later on, Mr. Kloop will be making a presentation regarding the study that you found in the agenda this evening. You're certainly welcome to stay, but again, I just don't want you sitting there expecting some action to occur this evening. So thank you all for your comments and your patience. Okay, are there any communications from the board? Mr. Weidel.
I just want to point out the following county board members informed me of my office that would not be here tonight: Mr. Al Kirch, Mr. Gladney, Ms. Anderson, Mr. Gunnis, Mr. Jones, and Mr. McGinnis.
Anything else? I do want to point out that in the packet of your particular mail that you received this evening, there are a couple of announcements about some upcoming conferences, workshops, etc., that have to do with county issues. There's one up on wind farms that's coming up this month. There's another on rural economic development. And I would appreciate if you would read those and if at all possible and not interested in attending. The information to do so is there. I would also remind the board that yesterday's News Gazette carried an article concerning a sustainability conference that's coming up on campus. It's kind of spread out between February and March and in different locations throughout the city, so you might want to check that edition of the newspaper. One of particular interest to local government has to do with a February 23rd panel discussion on sustainability efforts of local governments. It will be at 5:30 p.m. at the Illinois Terminal Building in downtown Champaign. Following meeting, there is one on locally produced foods, which is scheduled at, again, 5:30 at the Urbana Civic Center. Okay. I guess we're ready to move on now to Donovan Transportation phase of our meeting. Mr. Blue, this report.
The first thing on the highway transportation agenda is the monthly report for the county and town skip motor fuel tax claim for January 2010.
I move receive, place on file.
Second.
We can receive the second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? I look on to the county engineer report.
Okay, the first thing on the county engineer's report is a bridge petition from Compromise and Ogden Road Districts. This is a small culvert project that was performed on the township line between Ogden and Compromise Townships. We have a petition that is typical for township highway commissioners to make in order to use county bridge funds to pay for one half of the total project cost. That petition was in your packet on page 15, along with a resolution which obligates 50% of the funds, which would be about $6,000 from the county bridge fund in order to pay for 50% of the county share of that particular project. So I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Motion approved.
Second.
Been moved and second. Open for discussion. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next item on the agenda is a resolution appropriating $450,000 from the County Motor Fuel Tax Funds for the replacement of a structure on County Highway 16. County Highway 16 is the St. Mary's Road, and this particular structure is about a mile and a half off of U.S. Route 130 on the St. Mary's Road. Structure is in poor condition, is currently posted to not allow overweight trucks to go on it as the roads have been upgraded. Or the state has said that the traffic loads on roads can go up to 80,000 pounds. This particular bridge is posted at the old weight limits, which is 73,280. The bottom of the beams is severely deteriorated and the bridge continues to deteriorate. We have to do special bridge inspections on this structure on a six-month rotating basis to monitor the deterioration of the bridge. A couple years ago, we applied for and received major bridge programming funds through the state of Illinois. You'll see there in the resolution that we will receive assistance in the amount of $1,161,000 from the Illinois Major Bridge Program. The total cost of the project is estimated at $1,611,000. Therefore, the difference in those two numbers is the $450,000 that we are asking to appropriate from the Motor Fuel Tax Fund in order to complete this project. We have not started engineering on the project, although as soon as the resolution is passed, we'll be signing an engineering contract to do the work, and this project would be completed 2 years out, basically. So I ask for your approval of that resolution.
Thank you, President.
The rules are second. It's open for discussion. Mrs. Clinton? No?
Mr. Schrader.
Thank you. Jeff, I think I remember back when that bridge was put in there. How long ago was that bridge put in there? Was it back when they redid St. Mary's Road?
Yes. Yeah.
That's been some years ago. That pretty important stretch of road there connects 5745 with 130. And I can imagine the traffic's pretty heavy on that road. And the truck traffic is pretty heavy.
Right.
A lot of trucks go that way, a little road on 5745.
Yeah, with the magnitude of that project, obviously, you know, $1.6 million, and we see a good portion of that through the major bridge program. But we obviously would have a tough time funding a project like this. This would take 2 years of our bridge funds if we were just to build it on our own accord without any support from the major bridge program.
I compliment you and your staff for funding that.
Thank you.
Ms.
Barrett? The engineering on the project would be paid for out of the $450,000 for the motor fuel tax funds. Obviously, we're not spending that much money on the engineering project, but that engineering portion will come out of $450,000. Once the project gets to the point where we can bid it out and a contract is awarded and actually gets bid through the state of Illinois and their lettings of their projects, the major bridge funding is federal funds, so it comes through the state of Illinois. We don't actually ever get the money. The state of Illinois bids the project, they award the project, they pay the contractor, and then they seek reimbursement from us for our portion of the project. So it's actually the other way around.
Jeff, I'm just curious, what was the real final straw that broke the camel's back with the bridge? What was all wrong with it?
Well, a lot of the bridges that we put in back in the day that this bridge was built were the precast pre-stressed with the stress strands in them. As you all know, we have a great desire from our traveling public to make sure that when we get snow, as we will tonight, that they can travel on the roads. And whenever you mix salt with these types of bridges, they tend to deteriorate very, very quickly. So we are not building these types of bridges on the county system anymore, simply from that fact, because the bottom of those strands start to rust, corrode, and then once those strands are gone, you lose all of these strands in the beams. So it's basically the beams is the major problem for the bridge.
That doesn't reflect on the state crew or the contractor that built it 40 years ago when it had a 40-year maintenance life, does it? Because it was my crew.
I'd say reflects pretty well then.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right, the last item on my report is the Olympian Drive information discussion. Obviously, there are a number of people here that are opposed and those that are for the project, and I'm not here to say who's for it, who's against it, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox and tell you why it's great or why it's not. They've done an ample job of giving you the pros and the cons of the project. I'm basically here as your representative, your county engineer, to let you know where the project is, where it's going, where we're at right now, what our particular piece of the project is going to be, what is our responsibility as a county to this project. As has been talked about multiple times tonight in the newspaper, obviously this project has been in the works for many, many years, and the scoping or the design report that was completed in 1997 was quite an undertaking at that time. I wasn't here, obviously, back in the day when the design report was completed, but you'll note in the letter from the Regional Planning Commission that there were 10 different alignments that were looked at the time that design report was put together. And included in the options was the no-build alternative. That's always one of the options when we look at alignments to roadways. And of the 10 options and the no-build alternative, the one that I have handed out on the map was the alternative that was chosen based on a number of different issues, including public input. So, that is the alignment that has been chosen, regardless of whether that project development report and whether that design report was done in 1997 or if it was done in 2007. all of the same things that they looked at back in 1997 are the same things we would look at today. There wouldn't be any difference in the procedure in which they use. I mean, they do an exhaustive search of everything when they use those design reports. So I don't think the fact that that design report is so many years old really actually should negate any of the findings in that design report. So we've come to the point now where there's actually an opportunity for funding of the Olympian Drive project. The Olympian Drive project was included in the original Fringe Road Agreement that the county and the cities had between them back in 1994. And obviously we have passed a new resolution during my tenure to be able to participate in the construction funding and planning and design of these types of projects. That money that we have set aside and from the resolution that was passed, back in 2006, and I'll just read from it, the County Board of Champaign County approves long-term planning for motor fuel tax funds being based on 65% of our annual revenues reserved for county highway projects and 35% of our annual revenues reserved for ongoing and or future fringe road projects, which meets the eligibility of ILCS 605 on and up. Currently, we are partnering with the cities of Urbana and Champaign on the Windsor Road project with Urbana, on the Curtis Road project with Champaign. Once those projects are complete, we're looking at about year 2013 before the 35% that we're setting aside on an annual basis kind of comes back out of the red. We're kind of keeping that as a rolling type of commitment to those projects, which matches well with the timeliness of this project. So, being that this project is the project that is selected as the project that is in need of funding, the funding will actually be there from the motor fuel tax fund. As you all know, those motor fuel tax funds are there to build roads. There is no other expenditure we can use those for. Regardless of the county's financial state, the motor fuel tax fund is there to build roads. And by state statute, we can't take it, move it around, and do anything else with it. And that's what it's there for. You guys have set aside an appropriate amount of money to do these types of projects. So I just wanted to make that clear that, yes, if this project gets approved, we have talked with the cities of Champaign and Urbana, and whatever portion the county would have to take on, if it was more than the roughly $900,000 to $1 million a year that we have, that they know that, they understand that, they will work with us, and we can make payments as we can make payments based on our community every 35% for the most field access. So what is the county's role going to be in this project? Obviously, what we just talked about, the money that we set aside in the Fringe Road Agreement, which I have told them, and it's in documents in the Olympian Drive Subcommittee that we've been meeting with. They understand that basically it's beyond 2013 where the county actually has funds available to fund the project. The biggest thing that you as a county board are going to be involved in outside of the actual dollars and cents of the project is that the majority of the Olympian Drive project is not within the boundaries of the city of Champaign or the city of Urbana. Just as we did in the Curtis Road project, the county will have to be the lead agency for right-of-way acquisition, which means that whatever comes up through those right-of-way acquisitions, through those negotiations, all those decisions will need to come before the county board. We went through that on Curtis Road. We voted that the project was important enough that we would go through a condemnation process if needed. We went to the state legislature and got quick take authority. And in the end, obviously, we didn't need it. We were able to come to a resolution with the landowner without having to use that authority. But bear in mind that that's a, that is a possibility on this project as well, is that that may come to light again, just simply because the property is not in the county, not in the city. As far as funding the project goes, the number of $27 million continues to be a number that people are hanging their hat on. A majority of that money is the overpass of the railroad. We have $5 million from the capital bill, and no, that money can't be used to build Monticello Road or any other road. It has to be used on the Lincoln Drive project because the capital bill that was passed at the stage had named projects with named dollar amounts assigned to them. So that $5 million is named for this project. The plan is to use that money for engineering services and right-of-way acquisition. And if there is money that is left over after those things have been accomplished, then we would apply that to possibly construction of the project. Obviously, we have had a very vocal group going out to Washington, D.C., and trying to get monies from the federal government. As you know, the transportation bill is up and is in need of renewal. And every time they do that, there are opportunities to get additional funds for projects like this. So we're working diligently with Jim Johnson and Dick Durbin to see if there are funds that we can get from the federal side. So the county's commitment to this project is, after all those funds come in, what's left and what's the local share going to be. On this project, in the area where it's actually a piece of Champaign, a piece of Urbana, and the county, which is the first stretch from where it is now over to Lincoln Avenue, we basically would fund that local share, a third based on the city, the county, and the city of Urbana. Beyond Lincoln Avenue, where it's basically only on Urbana's side, the county would be 50%, and the city of Urbana would be 50% on the local share. We don't know what those shares are, but at this point, we're going to have to wait and see how much money we get from the other resources. So, we started this project as far as design and thought process. I mean, it has been through long-range transportation planning for years and years. I don't believe that it's relevant to go back and restudy the alignment of the project. And they did a very, very good job when they did it. And then, that cost a lot of money. And I don't think we want to go back and get another engineer to redo what's already been done in the past, because the environment, the things out there haven't changed. It's still what it was back in 1997. So to move ahead from here, obviously there's going to be an intergovernmental agreement that will come before this board. That will also go before the City Council of Champaign, Nevada. And we're looking at possibly a timeline sometime in March. The City of Nevada is going to be the agency on the project and will be drafting that agreement. Basically, what that agreement will have in it is it'll be an agreement to establish a lead agency, which will be the City of Nevada. It will talk about how the project could be phased. You have the west end of Olympian Drive. You've got the piece between the existing Olympian Drive and Lincoln Avenue, and then the piece from Lincoln Avenue over to 45. And based on how the monies become available, we may have to phase the project so that certain pieces of it can be funded on certain pieces of the pie when we get the money. We'll talk about the project timing, and we'll talk about the fact that the county would need to be the lead agency as far as property acquisition goes. And then there will be a later intergovernmental agreement that would specify how much everything would cost, who's going to pay for what, and that kind of thing. But in order to get the project off and running, we have to have an intergovernmental agreement, because the City of Urbana has to sign a document with IDOT to receive the funds to go ahead and move ahead with the design and engineering of the project. So that is the next step. That's why I'm here tonight. That's why these folks are here tonight. And the city engineer from Urbana, as well as the assistant city engineer from Champaign, answer any questions you might have from them. Pam is here from the RPC to answer any questions you might have with him, because obviously I've only been here 6 years in this project, predates me quite a ways back, and so maybe I have some answers.
Well, it sounds to me that this potential intergovernmental agreement in March is an implementation agreement regarding timing and cash flow, the same way that we did it on Winter Road, the same way that we did it on Curtis Road, the same way that we did it on Lincoln Drive over in Champaign. And the only way for the county to not go forward is to reject the fringe road agreement that we're already party to. What am I missing?
I'm not a lawyer. You're a lawyer. I'm an engineer. The fringe road agreement basically says that we will cooperate with the other entities to build fringe road projects, and we have set aside X number of dollars. That's the new fringe road. The old fringe road agreement has so many different interpretations.
Well, I thought the whole purpose of the 2006 resolution was to clarify, when we were working with Champaign and Urbana, that they recognize the limitation in cash flow that we have. We're not saying that we're backing out of the fringe road agreement. We're not saying there's anything wrong with the work that was done to get us into the fringe road agreement. It's in pure recognition of budgetary concerns that we have regarding the use of the available funds that we have.
That's correct.
Thank you. I keep hearing the talk that, when the study was done back in the 80s, 90s, what have you, I always look, and I say this to Mr. Beck all the time, nothing's in stone. Just because words have been said, studies have been done, a lot of things change. And the way everyday life in our country has changed today. I mean, I've seen a lot of things done, great plans made. I always feel like when we look at something and it's a plan, it's always a plan, just like a budget. We're looking at this road, and if it was desperately needed and the growth was for certain, that's something that should be taken into account. But we are seeing buildings, factories, the scope of our industrial auto plants, everything changing. What type of road we're talking about, I don't know. Those things have to be factored in. And back in 97, I mean, it was almost like a blank check in a lot of areas. Everybody was just spending money like it was crazy. And then I look around and I hear about these blighted areas, and I see them everywhere. I see these box stores that have moved out, buildings sitting around everywhere. Chinook Air Force Base is a prime example. We have all this land that has been used, and now it sits. And now we're going to take up more land for more buildings. When I really think when people look at plans, we ought to be looking at them. We ought to say, why can't we retrofit this or take this down and make an opening? I just have a lot of questions about this, and I'm a firm believer just because the vote was taken before, and I've heard many times in this chamber, it gets changed. And we need to really look at the issue if we can. And decide on it, because I just don't see the economic growth that is being talked about coming anytime soon.
There are a good many folks that they thought back when the van pulled out, back whenever that was, and the project got stopped on campaign side, but it was finished. It was over. So this surprises some, but thanks that we're obligated once that one of the entities, one of the partners for this federal government agreement pulled out of us. So now I'm being told we can't pull out. I would like to, as a county board member, be able to decide whether we think this is a good project and whether we want to go with it or not, and not be obligated to something that happened several years ago. I was reminded today by a colleague that was involved in that transaction that had we went ahead with it back then, we would be talking about a very small fraction of the money we're talking about today. And it would have been done and finished. So So that bothers. The other thing that bothers me is that when you came, Jeff, you found us a mess, literally a mess, and I don't know how else to put it, with our funding, because we had overcommitted ourselves to green roads. We all lost sight of the fact that the county motor fuel tax money was intended to be used on county roads. And your graciousness to get us out of this hole committed 35% of that to the cities for fringe roads. And it is conceivable that someday we won't have that 35%, we'll need it on county roads. So I'm not so sure that when we've done that, that we thought this was going to be a forever deal. So I like to stand. This road may be needed. Is it needed right now? This stimulus money that everybody gets, it's a great thing to run out and spend it, I guess, if you can get it. But it doesn't come free. We're going to have to spend some of our money to spend it. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So let's don't kid ourselves. This isn't free lunch. And it needs to be needed if we're going to proceed.
Mr. Wyman?
Yes, I just want to take the opportunity to put four letters on the record. All, I believe all the 24 members got these in the mail. I just thought that was what they're supposed to be. One letter is from the Champaign County Recreation Corporation, January 26, 2010. One letter from the Champaign County Farm Bureau, dated, I got it recently, I guess it's not moving. Also, a letter from the Champaign County Lincoln Oak and North Market Investor Roundtables, dated January 27, 2010. And a letter from Leslie Cooper Band of Red Gerald, for your pitch farm, dated January 20, 2010.
So, Mr. Sapp?
Well, I too believe that claims are paid back that claims are charged. Claims change, and I understand this that it's not back. So, but I have a hard time understanding this. Today suggests that the vehicle traffic and that excuse you to go to is the same today as what I was thinking here. I think that needs to look at it. It turns me that when you can study back then that you're needed for traffic. So I would like to see the plan. John indicated that several money saved. Well, that's a lot of money dollars too. So, a lot of people didn't realize 15 years ago or 10 years ago that we would be in the financial meltdown that we're currently in today. We need to stop spending money with $74 million to double up to take care of Spangler and Queen Mary Muhammad, or $27 million to this road. It's kind of the local tax credit as well. It's just been brought back to us from federal funds and then have us get our own funds. So there's too much money to be spending nowadays. We need to rebuild it. Statistics that were used back then, what the roads can be used for. I realize we're not going to take a vote tonight, but we need to offer it.
Ms. Young?
I do want to say that I have personal experience traveling from Vancouver to Champaign and the Northern Road, the rest of Champaign, and all the way around since I live on Lincoln Avenue as well. When I got the plan in the mail, I just couldn't for the life of me figure out why we would cross the farm lane to connect roads that I would probably never travel. I use Devers Road quite a bit between Champaign West, where my appointment was, to Ventura, where I live. And it was quick, it was fast. I don't recall ever calling traffic, ever, if there was any traffic at all. So some of the descriptions that I've heard tonight just don't seem to match my experience. But I do want to go on the other side of this, beyond the special interest groups that would like to have this possible industrial park, industrial roads, retail space. I am absolutely, fundamentally against the right-of-way for no apparent reason being taken. I live on Lincoln Avenue. I've gone down to the farms. I've traveled this entire space of road and have never gotten from Lincoln Avenue onto 74 and 75. I've never had any experience. I've never gone down 45 and couldn't get across. across the Champaign in relatively 8 minutes. And I traveled the county quite frequently. I never had any students. I am really concerned about some of the projections that have been given out. And I know people at home will watch this and say, well, this is great if we can have youth jobs. I'd like to know what jobs you'll create and you will do on a project of this magnitude without skilled labor. I'd like to know that. This is something that, as a local, I would be considered a boutique grower. I'm a boutique grower. We grow food in my backyard on not even an acre of planting. And I am one of those people who really, truly respect locally grown food and frequent the farmers market with all of these vendors. Quite frequently, I would absolutely be concerned if there is no real reason for eminent domain for us to say, and I don't see that in this project. I don't see that in this example that's been given to us. And I would certainly like to see where all the jobs and the creation would come from and the reason behind cutting straight across this farm. And I don't see it as far.
I have a question for Jeff or anyone else who's involved in the federal funding portion of this. Could you explain to me that somebody's mentioned stimulus money? This is not stimulus money that's going to be funding this, right? That's
no.
Yeah. Okay, so would you explain to me the process? You mentioned the timing of local funding in 2013. If you read, you know, the Energy Reserve built back up. Does Congressman Johnson and Senator Durbin how we feel for whether the funding is going to be piecemeal for the project, or is this going to be a full $22 million trying to be funded in the same time frame that we're... could you explain that?
I would ask...
What you know.
Yeah. I asked Cameron to come to me. He's been the one that's been involved in all those conversations. If we could allow him to come up and speak to that, I would appreciate it.
Be happy to. Let me just try to give you maybe a quick summary, and I'll tell you where the sources of money may be and what the amounts are. And again, it's still a little bit fluid, but you know, we're starting to focus in on some amounts. As Jeff said, the number that's kind of been floated around now for the last year or so has been $27.5 million. I know that the city of Urbana is in the process of negotiating an agreement with the consultant who did the location study back in 97. To take a look at that and update some of the numbers. We don't know what that final number exactly is going to be, but I'm guessing it'll be a bit higher than that. The number that I'm using, at least in my head, is $30 million. So keep that in mind. There's $5 million available in the capital bill. We have an application in to the Interstate Commerce Commission for $9.6 million. That would pay for most, but not all, of the rail crossing. There is $2.5 million in federal money that is committed. This is kind of the money we get every year that we get to plan and program. There's $2.5 million that's committed, at least right now, program for this project in 2013. Then there would be $5 to $6 million in local match. And then that leaves a gap of about $8 to $10 million in federal money. There's two options with that. One is through the regular federal budget process, you know, which is what they go through every year. The other option, which would be potentially a larger amount of money, the federal government programs transportation spending in six-year increments, and they do what's called a transportation authorization bill. And those bills, because they come every 6 years, and we're due for one later this year, so there's a timing issue here. That basically is where the feds decide how much and generally where it's going to be spent. We don't know what that number will be. I don't know that anybody does. People that I've talked to in Washington are suggesting at least that it's probably going to be $450 billion, between $400 and $500 billion over the next 6 years. And so either through the annual federal budget appropriation process or through that transportation reauthorization bill, is where we have requested that Senator Durbin or Congressman Johnson, hopefully they'll work together on it, that they would fill that $8 to $10 million gap that we feel we have on the project.
Okay.
The $5 million has been talked about of the capital bill. Are those dollars that we have in hand right now, are they just sitting in the capital bill and aren't going to us?
It's actually money that's going to go to the city of Abandon for the agency, not to the county. But it's money that is.
Do we have the dollars in hand or are they going to the capital bill?
Bill, do you know the answer to that? That's in hand.
It is in hand.
Mr. Lexington?
Do you see any difficulties at all in the funding of this? Are we going to get this money?
It appears that we are.
Is it stretching our budget out of shape? Is this a routine expansion, a continuing process, or is this extra?
For the county's budget?
Yeah.
For the county's budget? We have worked with the cities of Abandon and Champaign. They know full well how much we have set aside, and they're willing to work with us to make sure that our monies are enough to cover our portion of the pie, even if we have to pay them back over 2 or 3 years in order to be able to make that commitment.
Also, if this does not go ahead, the money that we would be putting into it, where would we put it?
On the Prince Road project, it becomes the next one that the community votes on through COAS.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Jeff, I was trying to fill my minute because I'm old, so forgive me. But I thought we were at 15 before we got out of the crunch, not 13.
Well, those were based on numbers when we were doing estimates on Curtis Road and Windsor Road. Also, we received some stimulus money on the Windsor Road project that we weren't counting on. The bids came in better than we thought they were going to, so it appears based on the bids and the money that we received through the stimulus program that we're looking at 2013 to 2014 is when that we're back in the black, as, you know, so to speak.
Back in the black is not necessarily with enough funding to do this project. It's just that we're not on the red side.
That is correct. Yeah.
Thank you, John. You covered the first part of my embarrassing dissertation. Jeff, before you and Cameron got here, we've been operating under the premise for years that federal money is free. Cross my heart and hope to die. Federal dollars don't cost anybody anything. And that's what we've been running with for years. Does the $27 million figure have a little, has it aged some? Where Cameron's probably closer with the 30 years. Do you have any idea? And otherwise, the project just escalated $2.5 million in 2 minutes or a while ago. It was $27.5 million at $8.55, and it was $30 million at $8.57.
Everybody say 32 or 33. That's why we need to hire a consultant to run the numbers. Honestly, that number was put together recently by the consultants. It's not a number that was brushed off from 1997. That's a new number, but it was based on a lot of assumptions and with no design done whatsoever. So could that number be higher? I'm not going to sit here and tell you it can't be. That'd be crazy if you guys would run me out of town in a year and a half if it was higher. I like my job, so I'm going to tell you that I'm going to wait for the design engineers to give me a real number before I hang my hat on anything.
Mr. Strong?
Thanks. Yeah, who this proposed project over? Who's going to be the owner of this project? In other words, who's going to do the maintenance and side road maintenance and all that?
Not the county. The cities of Champaign and Abandon and their respective communities will be the owners of the roadway.
And in regard to right-of-ways, county will be a lead agent. Who's going to deal with the Canadians on the railroad? Is it IDOT or the county?
The Illinois Commerce Commission is the group that we work through to work with the railroads. So they will be working
with the railroads to get all of the agreements, they have stipulated agreements, and reams of paper that will come through our hands. But that would be through the Illinois Commerce Commission.
Well, I appreciate my comments from our close friend and colleague, Mr. Digg, and I would agree with a lot of his skepticism. Looking forward to more information. I want to refer one more thing, too. I called you and asked if you had, excuse me, any original numbers from 97. Were you able to have anybody pick those up?
I didn't find any documents that had any numbers whatsoever. We should do an agreement to do a study to, you know, do a design of the Olympia Drive, but I didn't see any numbers that were attached to any of those designs.
Well, there's definitely numbers for the west side of the Champaign County.
You mean the piece that was built?
Right.
Yeah, we could. Those are obviously a little newer than 97, but we could find out what the construction costs were when that was built in the 2000s. But we don't have any numbers as far as going back to 97 that I'm aware of that says what it would cost to go from where it stopped to 45.
Thank you.
Mr. Dick?
Just very quickly, yes. Mr. Mosier's got those numbers right up here. You just get him on the phone and he can say exactly what they were.
I apologize here, but the money that we're talking about, the many of that, including Lincoln Avenue, it seems to me that a lot of the discussion really has to do with Lincoln Avenue being a way to get trucks back and forth, and I don't hear anybody talking about Lincoln Avenue being extended up to Olympia Drive.
No, the current project with Olympia Drive just has a build-out of the intersection of Lincoln Avenue, but it doesn't have any Lincoln Avenue building of the actual roadway behind the intersection with our people.
So that would not connect that industry that we're talking about that really wants to have that access to.
The current alignment of Olympia Drive that you're seeing and the $27 million number that's being put out there is not included with Lincoln Avenue.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker?
Well, Lincoln Avenue is not a fringe road, right?
Nope.
So we're not talking about spending any money on Lincoln Avenue, county money on Lincoln Avenue, are we?
Right.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. Whether or not I personally like Leverett or would like Olympia Drive, I find that a difficult perspective in looking 10 years in the future when I'm not on the county board and wondering what this county would be like. I used to live in southeast Urbana, and I had to drive Windsor Road to get across because I worked in Champaign, except there was no Windsor Road. You'd have to go around the curve there to go up to Lincoln Avenue. I remember I got stopped by a cop once there. And it was a horrible road, and it was a horrible way to get across town. I can't remember who in public participation I talked about this. But somebody had the foresight, probably Mayor Preston. Oh, she wasn't mayor then. Somebody had the foresight to talk to us as a body politic to enter into an intergovernmental agreement that affected Windsor Road. What great vision. And absolutely wonderful vision. Somebody talked to us as a body politic and convinced us that Curtis Road ought to be a friend's road. What wonderful vision they had. Look how that ended up being connected to 57. That's going to be ultimately in the future a wonderful development. Somebody had the vision to talk about Olympian Drive, and we now have an exit off 57. I'm telling you, if we hadn't had that vision, that exit would not be there. We already see what's happened up north end of Prospect, the development that's occurring there. And to think that nothing is going to happen on Olympian Drive as it extends east over to Urbana, you're just kidding yourself. You're absolutely kidding yourself. Somebody had the vision. I've been on this board going on 10 years. The one thing that I've seen that works are intergovernmental agreements. You have to give your word, and you have to stand by your word. Was I disappointed when Urbana stalled? You bet I was. I think everybody was. It probably cost us more money than it should. Every time we delay our highway building, if you delay, the highway building costs more. If you delay, the courthouse costs more. Let's study some more. Let's delay some more. We'll have some county board in the future. We'll finally realize this is a good project, and it'll cost $50 million. Why don't we do what we gave our word that we're going to do? Just because Urbana stalled doesn't mean that we should stall. We entered into an agreement as a body politic. We ought to continue with our agreement. We ought to fund this project in the way that Jeff has directed us to, and we ought to move forward. because we have a vision for this county, and our vision isn't about ourselves, it's about the future.
Yes, I do have just one question. I really like this study that you put together because it did help a lot to pull the history of this project to get back in my consciousness. But I do have to ask about, in the Q&A section on question four, the question asks, what are the expected impacts on the environment and agriculture in the area? And frankly, I don't think the answer answers the question. You know, all it says is the environmental and agricultural impacts of Olympic Drive have been evaluated by the state and federal resource agencies. Okay. Can somebody direct me to where those studies are and what, or give me a summary of what they produced?
That would be from the 1997 location design study. All those things have to be evaluated at the time that the alignment is chosen and funded by the Federal Highway Administration.
Right. But what did those studies say about the impact on the environment? And I assume it's the natural environment.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. And what this would mean, I mean, we've heard anecdotal information about agricultural impact. But again, sort of stepping away from personal stories to get sort of the overview of what this will mean to agriculture in the area. Can somebody direct me to such a study or some conclusions or something?
We'd have to pull those from the design document report. And we definitely could do that. I'm not sure. I don't have that in my office, but I'm sure we could get those for you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Gary.
Last comment. I keep hearing all these stories about how people have had to drive to get here and get there. What a wonderful world we're in today that, you know, when Jay was a kid, he had to ride a horse. Now we got cars. And we see that the faster we can go, we want to get there quicker. And my philosophy is, let's enjoy life. Let's enjoy the beauty around us. Let's put pavement over all the time unless there's a need. Not because we can get somewhere faster or say we can go here easier. We've all got it easy. But we seem to always want more and more and more. And let's look at how good we do have it.
Accepting questions from the audience that we can have on board or not?
No.
Okay.
Well, the question I have is on this intergovernmental agreement that may be coming to us in March. I guess one of the things that I would be most concerned about is I want to make sure that all of the parties agree to the actual budget. I walked the plan that we have. This is a good answer. We have to have a record. On behalf of the few Democrats that are on this board, worked out Saturday, who assured me right up until 10 minutes before it fell through that the city of Urbana had the money and was going to support the project. I am not walking the plank again. I would think that it's the reason I could not vote for my next door neighbor for the election for mayor of New York. That was an appalling thing. I want to make sure if we're going to be asked to do this, that the funding has to be solid in place by all of the parties. And it is completely unfair to ask these people to disrupt their lives and disrupt their property if funding isn't going to be there.
I was keen on that, on board. Even the Todd County, even the city of Urbana. The city of Urbana, as Todd explained
they were pulling out of that because they wanted to put their money into Olympian Drive, not into Windsor Road. And I felt the same sense of betrayal that Tom has expressed. If you made an agreement, and we did, you should follow through with it or hang your head in shame thereafter.
Any other business on this item?
I just got one question because I don't have enough of this to do my name. Once that project didn't move forward from the initial engineering agreement, is that the same agreement that we're saying is still standing now, although we didn't move forward according to that agreement at that time? Is that still a legal binding agreement if we did not move forward on it at the time that it was initiated? And that's the agreement we're using today.
Well, I think this is actually referring to the original Frenchville agreement. If there was another intergovernmental agreement that was to be signed, I don't believe anybody would refer to that as something that we need to stand by. I don't even know if that agreement ever gets signed, or did it just fall through? So there wasn't an agreement.
So the agreement was written with the previous agreement, and that agreement was made on fiscal stress. In other words, we have committed ourselves to so much in the way of Greenfield that we don't have any money for anything else, so we really have to cut back. Now, the question is whether we're in that sort of situation now. I don't think we are. But there's going to be people uncomfortable with this no matter what we do. I think we've heard enough of this to know that.
Any more discussion? Okay, the chair does not have a report. And everything will be put on a designated to consent agenda.
No.
We're not accepting someone from the audience.
Unless the group, the body politics, suspends its rules.
I make a move.
Second.
All those in favor?
I'm sorry, who is the second? I didn't think of that.
I did.
Mr. James. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Go ahead. Well, yeah. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand.
Four.
Suspend the rules. Okay.
Come up to the podium.
You need to come up here, identify yourself.
I'm George Boyd. I live northeast of Urbana in the county. I'm sorry I didn't get here in time to fill out one of your little slips. But you did say much earlier that the discussion on Olympian Drive was over. And that didn't turn out to be the case, actually. And so I appreciate an opportunity to make a few comments. First of all, in looking at Mr. Moore's document, Mr. Cameron Moore, he talks about the various organizations, Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, Economic Development Corporation, Parkland College, etc. One group that is not mentioned is the public. There have been a lot of discussions about Olympian Drive that were never open to the public. And the public is what we're talking about. You people all represent the public. How many of you, I'd like a show of hands, please, How many of you have...
No, that's unacceptable.
Oh, okay.
You need to make your comments that you cannot interact with the board.
Okay. Well, I'm speaking to them.
That's right.
Well, anyway, I don't know how many of you may have gone out to look at this property out in that area, but I think that you should. It's been held up by a lack of funding. About 7 miles south of Champaign is an airport, Willard Airport. And I can remember when they were going to build Willard Airport and the economic meetings they had on that, and it was so wonderful. We had to have a bigger airport. We're so busy. We're going to fly in and out internationally and all kinds of ideas. What is Willard Airport doing now? You could fire a cannon through there and not hit a thing. And that's, you know, these projects that people say are so wonderful don't necessarily work out that way. 6 years ago, the RPC told me that the population growth in Champaign-Urbana, in Champaign County, their county organization, was expected to be 8 to 12% per year. 8 to 12%. Champaign County in 1990 had a population of 173,025. In 2000, which was the last census, it was 179,669. So over a 10-year period, it grew at the rate of 0.4% per year. Certainly not the 8 or 12% that I was told it was going to do. And you get similar numbers if you look at Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul. Rantoul, actually, when they closed the base up there, lost more than 5,000 population between 1990 and 2000. That is part of Champaign County also. I think I've probably lived here about as long as most of you here. And there are just a lot of things that he stated. The local governments are directly impacted by Olympian Drive. And I appreciate all the comments that people have made after the chair said that the discussion was over on Olympian Drive. Olympian Drive has been approved by Federal Highway Administration. I agree that the 13-year-ago study doesn't really have much bearing anymore with the economy the way it is. I've never had a problem getting on any road to go anywhere. Route 45, which is in Urbana, has been a four-lane road since at least the early 1940s. And now that Chanute is no longer active, you can see how busy it is. That's going to improve employment and social conditions. If you drive along Route 74 and look as you go by Lincoln Avenue and anywhere you want to go in Champaign County where they have existing infrastructure that is sitting there doing nothing. No one's going to move out there. The big emphasis to build Willard Airport was because of the computer industry. This is going to be another Silicon Valley. When Silicon Valley started, I lived in California. And I can tell you, this is not going to be another Silicon Valley. The main business in this county, the thing that really brings the money in, is farming. It's an agricultural area. And that has to be kept in mind. I agree with the lady, I don't know her name, she lives in Rantoul. I can go anywhere here, from northeast of Urbana, anywhere, Champaign, Bonneville, wherever you want to go, I can go there in 15 minutes. I've never been congested in traffic. It doesn't exist. I don't believe your traffic count numbers are accurate. Without an east-west alternative, growth will ultimately overload I-74. Obviously, the county is not growing very fast. Going to relieve congestion, alleviate congestion. He talks about the environmental impacts. It seems like environmentally, he says, well, the lower speeds on Olympian as compared to Route 74 will result in less pollution. That seems to be the only environmental issue he sees. The fact is that, as someone mentioned much earlier, the loss of the green areas and the ability of the animals to move around is a major impact. The Champaign County Board a few years ago had a blue ribbon panel on the environment. I don't know how many of you were on the county board at that time, but there was a lot in there with regard to destroying green areas and its effect on the environment, not just here in Champaign County, but throughout the state. I think you need to go back and look at the results of that. A lot of time and money was put into it. And it is time to complete Olympian Drive. Now, this list of all the times that have different years that this has gone on and on and on, I'm sure that each year it was a very important project. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. So for all of these years listed, it wasn't done, and we can still function perfectly. And lastly, I would like to say, this is a critical time in a lot of respects. I don't think you ought to rush into completion on what you're going to do in this regard. First of all, there are going to be new board members soon. What are their opinions going to be? There are going to be new state government members. The money, which I don't think Jeff can guarantee, may not be there anymore. Illinois is only behind California at the bottom of the list of states that are broke, bankrupt, essentially, including the United States government. Also, there's a new census that's going to be done just in the next few months. What are those figures going to show us? So, that's pretty much what I have to say. No one has any money. Not Champaign, not Urbana, not Bonneville, Savoy, not the state of Illinois, not the federal government. It doesn't exist. So by the time you get around in 2013 or 15 or whatever it is, Durbin and Tim Johnson may no longer be in office. I don't know, but I'm trying to urge you to take a longer, harder look at the ability of this county or these cities to pay for a project of this time. I can guarantee you that if they take all the money they can get, in the next 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, they will never be able to maintain and keep up with the road needs that they presently have. I can drive anywhere in this community or Champaign or out in the country, there are roads that need repair right now. Bridges, roads, the overpass over from Neal Street going over Route 74 when I was on it the other day, it's breaking up terribly. There simply isn't enough money to do all these things. We should first maintain what we already have. It's like living in your house and, well, it doesn't really need paint now. It's more important for me to put in a new swimming pool. So that's pretty much what I have to say. I hope you won't, just because you've made previous agreements. I can remember when Macmillan went back to England and said, peace in our day. What happened to that agreement? So I'm sorry, I don't have teleprompters. I don't have my speeches written by a group of 40 or 50 people, but I'm just trying to tell you what I think as a person who's lived in this community a long time. And I appreciate your time, and thank you for voting to give me the opportunity to speak to you. Next time I'll try and get here early enough to fill out your white paper.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And there's nothing else for the board to consider on highway transportation.
Four facilities. You know, the first item is the courthouse exterior talking about our renovation project update. I understand the motion to receive and place that on file.
So moved. Second.
Moved by that, second by Rosales. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is Alan here?
Right here.
He's right here.
Oh, hey, he's stuck up on me. Next, we have our facility director's fiscal plan and year-end report. Mr. Reinhardt.
I'd like this report to show you our end of the year balance that we just received today. For your information only, are there any questions?
And seeing no questions, I entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
I move.
Did you guys vote? Mr. Bensel, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Is there any other business? I have no report. To be adjourned.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
I like one.
First item on ELOC is a request to amend the Champaign County zoning ordinance is zoning case 58-18-09. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
By Mr. Beckett, second by Mr. Weibel. Discussion. Mr. Hall, you have a comment?
Well, I would like to point out to the board that there's a memo at your desk tonight dated February 2nd. It has the text of what the ZBA approved on Monday evening. There's two diagrams that the ZBA saw that illustrate the change regarding the RIA separation. Because the meeting was so late, I'd be more than happy to go through those diagrams if you'd like. This is the first time that the board has seen this text, so I don't want to rush anything here.
Ms. Wasowski, can you call on me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Bennett.
Thank you. Mr. Hollister, any reason why this can't be done next month? So this is highly technical stuff. I mean, is there some emergency that between now and next month, understanding all these numbers and subparagraphs, etc.?
There is no reason at all why this can't wait. However, next month, you're going to get about 10 times this much with the small wind turbine amendment, and that will blow your mind. But if you want to take them both in one night, that's your call.
Yeah, but if I get it in advance of the meeting so I can read it, but getting this, I happen to live, I'm one of the few, I live at a residential airport, believe it or not.
And believe me, I would never do this any other time, but I was very concerned about the situation that I described to the member of the White House, but this can certainly wait.
And my second question before I make a motion to defer then is, what's your response to the gentleman who said, he's right and you're wrong?
The only thing understated in Mr. Schultz's letter is the extent to which I disagree with him. I very strongly, vehemently, completely disagree with his assertions. However, the only purpose for this amendment is to eliminate the chances for these kinds of disagreements with the wind farm approval. I respect Mr. Schultz's ability to interpret the written word, and his argument shows me that we need to make even more changes on Part B. And I would be very happy to withdraw Part B and bring it back in an expanded version just because he's demonstrated that there can be this disagreement.
Well, to me, that's another reason why we ought to defer it, to give you a chance to do that. So I move to defer.
Could I have clarification on if you want me to go ahead and re-advertise Part B or wait until you discuss it next month?
If you have thoughts based on the colloquy tonight, I think it would be very helpful for us to hear it myself.
Mr. Rudo?
Is this having to do initially with the Gerdes request for an ROA? Is this a response to it?
The RLA separation amendment is a direct response to what became apparent in the Gerdes case. It doesn't change anything about the Gerdes case, but it's in case something like that comes up in the future.
Mr. Weddle?
Clarification, John. To make those changes, do you have to go back to GBA?
On Part B, yes.
So if we discuss it next time.
You could recommend next time that we do that. Right. You could recommend that we move forward on Part A and that Part B not be acted upon and be sent back for further work. You could do that.
I'll go ahead and re-advertise Part B anyhow. Because we're going to get a refund application in a couple of months. These things are going to be resolved at that time.
Mr. Newell, I just want to make one quick comment. It was just a short month ago when we were talking about who should pay for studies on noise and bird people that I was personally told that we can't unwind this document. And now you're coming today, rightfully so, having found a hole, that we can unwind things. So, I'm looking for consistency, John, and I'm a little upset.
Well, I'll give you the consistency.
Let me finish, please. I'm a little upset when these kinds of things come up and somebody tries to steamroll things. And I just want to know in the future that if we have a way to unwind the document, that we are not going to be told again that this is something we cannot do. And that was specific. I heard that myself, and I know others heard it.
Could I respond? The discussion there was about whether we could make a wind farm developer come to us to get a third person to do the noise study. And what I said that night was we would have to amend our ordinance to do that, and we could certainly do that. But we shouldn't try to do that if we don't have it written into the ordinance. And so it's not unwinding. It's called amending the zoning ordinance. Exactly as I told you that night, yes.
For the record, I support Mr. Hall's time. I support Mr. Hall's interpretation. That's what I thought he said that night. And we can undo anything. We can pass laws. We can change those laws. We're the body that does that.
Mr. Lane.
Just because one county board member tells another county board member that he can't do something doesn't necessarily mean that it's found in a document written in stone. We can unwind anything. We can make fools of ourselves at our will.
Mr. Sapp.
If we can unwind anything, how come we can't unwind our friend Rotary?
Okay, we're getting off the subject here, right? Let's get back on track. We have a motion on the floor to defer this particular zoning case. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of deferring, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
The next item is just an update on the proposed area of 138 kV transmission line from the Longville substation to the Southwest Campus substation. This requires no action. This was something that I was bringing to ELEC's attention before the committee of the whole meeting started. This project was completed, this step of this process was completed on January 18th, and the preferred route is included in the packet.
Mr. Hall, will we ever have to make a decision on this budget?
No. But normal procedures, no. You may be asked for comments at some point, but that's pretty unlikely.
Yes, Mr. Schrader.
Thank you. John, do you know how much of a right-of-way is required? I know I talked to a farmer out there. That right-of-way, before we bought the farm, was there already. That was back in the 60s or 70s, I think. So do you know any knowledge of how much of that right-of-way is there?
No, it's something we
I'm talking about the proposed one.
You also saw your table tonight, the January 2010 report.
Move we receive and place on file. Second.
Thank you.
Question.
Mr. Beckett, motion by our second by Mr. James. Mr. Nuno.
Thank you. In reviewing this, I see that there was a staff reduction. How many staffers do you have to make these kinds of inquiries and investigations?
Well, we had 6 staff previously. We have 5 now.
Okay, and I asked last month if you could get some measure of numbers of investigations per week from others. It appears here that we've gone from 6 to 5, and we anticipate an average of just a little bit short of 1 compliance and inspections per week, and we averaged 0.4 or half with a reduction of 1 staff member. So I still want to see a comparison of how many investigations are done by others, because to me, half an inspection and half an investigation per week is something we should look at. If we're back to 582 open patients, I'm just not sure that we're maximizing the time of those people working for you.
And I was going to bring those numbers back along with the information from those counties about the numbers of complaints they get and things like that, which is part of the follow-up on the discussion last month. I did not get to that this month. I plan to have that next month.
Anything else? On the agenda. We have a request for the approval of an intergovernmental agreement to sharing costs with the 2010 county-wide residential electronics collection event between the township of Lincoln and the city of Atlanta and the village of Sequoia. Motion by Mr. Meissner, seconded by Mr. Schrader.
Their
discussion. Mr. Beck.
What is the $1,934 coming from?
In solid waste fund.
Anything else?
Sorry.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. So, anticipating Mr. Bretz's question, this is a request for approval of the police for the recycling event. I believe it's on the property of the News Gazette.
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Aye.
Seconded by Mr. Weidel. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Third item is a request approval of agreement regarding the provisions of the recycling and or refurbishing services for the recycling event. Motion by Ms. Ammon.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Schmucker. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The only item that I will report as chair is that just a reminder that the public comment period regarding the LRMP ends this coming Tuesday at the close of business. Please be sure those others to submit comments. You can do that online. Okay. Well, you can drop off your comments in person. We have nothing that we can add.
All three from the agenda.
Okay. Okay. All the items that we can do all the comments in front of the agenda.
Second.
Motion made by Campbell, second by Jenkins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Good job.